Hey there, fellow humans. It's Mark Labusk here again for episode number 85 of the Simply Practically Human podcast. And my guest this week is professional image and style specialist Briony Croft. And I met Bri in Fiji way back when we could travel at a business conference. And a couple of things that stood out for me very early was just how confident Bri was and how well she knew herself. And we're going to learn a bit today how that is related to what you wear, and some of Bri's early understandings as a international performer on how she turned up in what she was wearing, how it impacted on how she felt, and then how others responded to her. So we're going to dive a little bit into that. We're going to dive into the importance of first impressions, the theory of ratios, and also why are Aussies less excited than the average human being globally about getting back into formal wear when we've become used to perhaps wearing the PJs on the Zoom and Teams calls. And when Bri's not doing this sort of work and traveling around the world as she does with this work, she can also be found as what she calls as a quiet observer of human interaction, a people watcher. She will also be spending time with Huxley, her crossbreed mutt, down at the beach or going on day-long walking adventures, sunbathing, whatever it is. Bri will bring Huxley into the picture, and she can never walk past another dog without patting it. And she also still loves to sit in front of the piano and just sing now because she wants to and not because she has to. This is the Simply Practically Human podcast, and our guest this week is Briony Croft.
Life can get pretty complicated. In the Simply Practically Human podcast, Mark Labusk talks to incredible humans to see the way forward more clearly through the complexity in the world and in our heads. Let's get ready to thrive.
I am absolutely thrilled today to be talking to Briony Croft, who is a professional image and style specialist, but as you'll find out, a lot more than just that as well. Briony, thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark.
Where do we start? I always like to start with my guests about, because I know part of your work, which is really cool, and we're going to talk about it, is about first impressions. And I'm sort of a little bit scared about this one because I'm talking to someone who's in the style and image space, and I want you to talk about when we first met and your first impression of me.
Great first question, I must say. The first impression I got, you were very cool and calm because we met in Fiji at a business conference that we both decided to go to, which was fantastic, by the way. And I remember the first time I met you, you were sitting in the breakfast area and cool, calm and collected, relaxed in your chair, came over and had a chat with me. Yeah, I just remember you being just very calm.
Wow, I love that. Not something that many people say when they talk about their first impression of me, but I love calmness. Calmness is something I'm trying to get better at, but maybe back then. And Fiji was amazing. Shout out to Zach and to the people that put that on. That was an incredible thing. In fact, I hope they can get back to doing that at some point in time.
Me too.
My first impression of you, because I'm going to share that as well.
Please do.
And I love this because of the work that you're in, which we'll get into, is like there was this real confidence. And it wasn't arrogant confidence. It was like I know who I am and I am proud to talk about who I am and what I do. And I was like, wow. And then I think we were sharing pictures of our dogs as well.
Along the way.
So it's like, and you were saying, oh, those little dash hounds of yours, you should do some extra things with them. They look so good. But really enjoyed our first meeting. We've only caught up once since then with everything that's going on in the pandemic. But I am fascinated about the work you do. But before we go there, I'm also fascinated for both myself and the listeners to get to know more about you as the human being, because it's not all about pigeonholing people into coming on and talking about what they do or what's on their business card. It's what got you to here. So maybe a little bit about where you grew up and what you're interested in at a young age, and then sort of what influenced you to get into this space.
Yeah. So my background is actually quite diverse, I have to say. And upon reflection, now that I'm in my 30s, of what I did back in the days when I was younger, is absolutely linked to what I do now and what I bring forward now as well. So I grew up, I'm a beachside girl. I grew up on the Mornington Peninsula and was lucky enough to have parents that very much encouraged me to do everything, give everything a go. If you don't like it, you don't like it, but give it a go. And I think that fostered a attribute in me to excel in whatever I chose to do. I was definitely that kid that was very much interested in everything, would see it as an opportunity. I wasn't a cool kid. I was a bit of a nerd. I loved my music. I loved theater. And yeah, ultimately that is how I've always been. And that got me into the music industry. So my pre-this career, I should say, is in the music industry. So I am a classically trained singer.
Yep.
And I think from the age of 15, I got a scholarship to the Victorian College of the Arts, specializing in voice. And from there, I was classically trained, moved into music theatre, did that around Australia. Then I moved into more of a contemporary field and found myself in contracts all over the globe. And I was the front woman of a 7-piece band doing, I suppose you call it like the hotel circuit, 5-star hotel circuit around the globe. And that is really what got me into understanding how image changed me, because I'm quite down to earth and I often had to almost put, well, I had to put a show on.
Yeah.
So I had to do something to try and, I suppose, create a stage persona that was an elevated confidence level that needed to be there, but was also still being true to myself. So there was this really interesting time for me where I was trying to figure out, who am I as an individual? How do I bring that on stage, but elevate it?
Yeah. A couple of things. I remember when we were in Fiji and they had a band on. They sort of had that last night where we had to get dressed up in the different colours. And then people were like, the band was finishing. And then someone there said, oh, well, Bree can sing.
Yeah.
It's like, up you go. And I reckon there would have been many people there that would be like, oh, I would love to be that person that gets up and can do that. But, you know, I'm shit frightened to be doing it. Yeah. One thing that you said then, which I really like, and I wanted to pick up a quote out of your website, which is an incredible website. It's, you talked about, my level of confidence and stage presence was directly linked to how I felt in the clothes that I was wearing and how that in turn influenced how the audience responded to me.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I think this sort of starts to get us into where you've ended up today and with what you're doing.
Yeah. When you're in front of international audiences and being in different cultures, you have to learn how to communicate with them. And I often couldn't communicate verbally because I didn't speak the language that they spoke. But what you can do is communicate who you are, what you stand for, the kind of person that you are, with the way that you dress. And that's where the influencing side of it comes from. And that very much goes into what I now believe is everyday life. What are you choosing to wear that can actually influence those around you to build trustworthy relationships that ultimately can help you to grow and develop into the human being that you want to be?
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that nonverbal communication piece and then what people are seeing. And I guess, you know, if then I think about music and, you know, international music and international music acts, one of the things now that's coming to mind for me is some of the people that you really started to follow and be influenced by were ones that sort of dressed in a way that best represented them. And they felt, you know, I think about a Freddie Mercury, for instance, someone like that.
Exactly.
You know, Elton John, it could be a whole lot of them, even some of the 70s rockers and that. They just, people like, oh, look at the hair, look at the dress, look at, but that's, that was how they best represented themselves and maybe felt the most confident as well.
And memorable. That's what made them as memorable as what they are. And it's not that you would look at them and go, I want to be like them. It's more that you're looking at the characteristic traits of an individual that has the confidence to be able to say, no, this is who I am and I'm happy to represent it and I want to share it with you.
Yeah. So just on confidence, I think I feel this as well. I'm the guy that wears the black T-shirt with something that I think is profound written on the front of it. Maybe others do and others don't. But when I put the black T-shirt on, I'm confident I've gone into role. Mm-hmm. And this is me. It's a provocative statement, maybe, or a statement around curiosity. But there'd be some times when I'm putting on something and I'm like, oh, this feels blah, it feels shitty. It's what's at play here when people get into certain outfits and they just feel like they're on and they're in charge versus when they get into something and they're like, ugh. What goes on there?
Yeah, well, there's a direct link with who you are as an individual on the inside and how you align that with what you're choosing to put on the outside, because it's all a choice. What you're choosing to wear is 100% up to you. It's just whether you've done the personal development to actually recognize who you are and therefore what that is. So when you're putting on something that is feeling blah or just feels a bit drab, is often a word that I would use, there's a misalignment happening. So whether you are choosing something to wear because you're about to be in front of an audience or in front of a person that you believe would appreciate that, that's you dressing for somebody else. That's not you dressing for yourself. So there's a misalignment there. So whenever you are feeling like that, I would recommend to just take a minute and recognize what that feeling is and where that misalignment is to make sure you don't do it again. Because I often see people that are dressing for other people because they think that that's going to get them where they want to go or influence the audience in the way that they think that they need to influence. But then that's inauthentic and you're not getting your message across whatsoever. That's not memorable.
That's really cool because I can share with you quickly here and the listeners that I dress in the black T-shirt, the black jeans, a pair of RMs, or blue jeans, whatever it might be. And I had to present to a CEO and their team. So I just went as I usually do, like this, and the CEO turned up and he sort of looked at me a bit. They don't dress in the usual suit and tie there, but they dress, you know, in, I'd say, really smart business attire.
Yep.
We got through that stage of it. And then I remember driving across the Balti Bridge here in Melbourne and getting a call from the COO saying that the chairman wants to meet you.
Mm.
Now, here's what happened for me in that moment, Bree, and you might be able to help me out with this. I said this without even thinking, what should I wear?
Fascinating.
So what's going on for Mark LeBusque right in that moment when, without even thinking about it, he says, chairman, what should I wear? What's happened to me in that moment?
In that little moment, I believe that was you being inauthentic and possibly misinterpreting why that COO wanted to actually see you.
Yep.
So you're trying to make an impression on him based on what you believe and making an assumption of what you believe he wanted to speak to you about, rather than going, he's noticed me for something. If I can continue to be that person that I just impressed.
Yep.
You know.
I love it. No, I love that because the response I got from the COO was, what you usually bloody wear, mate.
Yeah, exactly right.
And I just sort of went, oh, thank goodness for that. Now, I met with the chairman and the chairman and I now have a pretty good relationship after 18 months or so. One of the things he did say to me when he walked into the room, he goes, oh, I walked into the room and there was some wanker sitting there in a black T-shirt. But he said, very, very soon I got the sense of why you were like you were because when you opened your mouth and you spoke and that was what came out. It wasn't someone that was dressed up in a suit and tie and very prim and proper and was looking to impress. It was very authentic. So I think that's a good lesson.
And I think it also comes down to presence as well. You would have been in that room dressed in a way that reflects you. And what comes with that is an incredible amount of presence for an individual because you're comfortable in who you are and what you do and how you present. There is a definite presence that comes with that, and that is directly linked to confidence, obviously.
I like this link between the inside you and the outside you, the self and what's going on in there. I think we spend a lot of time in the outside in, like material things, cars, houses, how I look, will people like what I look like, all that sort of stuff. How do you help people in the work that you do in this to delve into the inside piece to then end up with something that really represents them well on the outside.
Yeah, it all comes down to this personal development side of things. When I'm working one-on-one with clients, I don't even talk about their wardrobe for at least a couple of weeks of working with them, because you have to understand who you are. And if you don't understand who you are, there is no possible chance that you can build a wardrobe that reflects you. And then the repercussions of that is you end up going to stores and purchasing crap that you are wasting your hard-earned dollars on purchasing. So you have to go into thinking about your image, and often people will call it a personal brand. It's a bit of a buzzword over the past couple of years, is this personal brand concept.
Yeah.
But you have to go into finding out about yourself with an open curiosity. Be open to asking questions of yourself. I obviously am the one asking these questions of my clients to help them truly understand and put themselves in a different mindset of what they're trying to achieve, and dressing, as a little slogan I say, dressing today for your tomorrow.
It's really incredible to understand getting outside this idea, Bree, that it's like, oh, Bree's the person just tells people what to wear.
You
know, yeah. We go into the room and there's a rack full of clothes and it's like, hold that. Oh, yeah, that looks good. Or it's not like, no, the real work is done. In fact, I love what you said. Most of the work is done without talking about the clothing, the style, the image. It's more about the person.
Yep, absolutely. And future aspirations as well. Future aspirations is a really big thing when you start talking about image. And it's something that I think a lot of people don't give the time and the space to actually stop and think about it and reflect upon it and reflect upon how, because we use, ultimately, we are our number one marketing tool.
Yep.
We are truly our number one marketing tool. And if you look at a corporate brand or a company brand, there is always consistency around the message that they're putting out there into the world.
Yeah.
Why are we not doing this as individuals? Why are we not giving ourselves the opportunity to understand ourselves that well that we can consistently show up and build these relationships of trust so you get the opportunities that you deserve and you get the chance to share your skill set? Because ultimately, it's about sharing what you're good at. Your image, unfortunately, it's either going to work for you or it's not going to work for you.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll get into the corporate stuff shortly, but reading through your website, one of the things I came across was the theory of ratios. And, you know, there's some science behind this stuff, and I'm reading it, and I think there's an image of some Egyptian stuff and pyramids and other bits and pieces. But can you talk a little bit about the importance of the theories of ratios when it's getting down to this work around how they style themselves, what sort of clothes they wear, how they dress, what goes on there?
Yeah. The theory of ratios, or the golden sequence, is essentially, it's a mathematical formula that is pleasing to the human eye. So it's used across many things. It's in nature. I mean, a petal, a flower, they all, to us, when something is in proportion, it comes across as being beautiful. So it can be used in body shape proportion. It's used by architects when they're building magnificent building structures. It's a mathematical equation that is proven to appeal. So when it comes to body shape, it's the rule of thirds, essentially. So it's creating illusions. So clothing enables us to create illusions of our body shape. So if you are, I'm vertically challenged, I'm a very short person. So I want to try and make myself look taller, even though I'm not. So to use these ratios and these proportions and this mathematical equation of thirds, I will always try and make my legs look longer by dressing one third top, two thirds bottom.
Yep.
So that's how you can use this theory of ratios to your advantage. And it's not only just body shape. You can look at it like the length of your arm. If you've got particularly long arms, then how do we elude and how do we tailor clothing to create a mask?
I love it. I love it. To those that are vertically challenged out there, there's a tip for you straight away. Just that's straight from someone who is vertically challenged. Body image is such a huge thing. And, you know, social media and all that sort of stuff that goes on there. Like you talked about, their arms are too, maybe longer than they wanted them to be. I've got a big head. I got a
big brains,
chunky thighs and things like that. And you sort of think to yourself, how do you bloody dress for this sort of stuff? Now we always go to the negative first. Like, we do it when we look at ourselves. We do it when we look outwards as well. How do you help people to get over some of that stuff around, yeah, but I can't wear that because of this, and I can't do that because of this, and can't you see? What things do you do there?
It actually comes directly back to what we spoke about. It's about creating proportion. If there's a certain part of your body that you don't love, it's about making sure that we don't draw attention to it.
Gotcha.
So it really is just what we spoke of, is how do we use these illusions to create the proportion. It's as simple as that. It sounds simple. Having said that, it can be quite complicated as well. It really can be.
But I'm sure, and look, given what I know about you, obviously you would work with people who have some real body image issues, but you're able to help them to go from having those issues to having the confidence to step out and feel, like we said before, like $1 million and confident to step out even when there's some things going on in the back of their minds, yeah?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think normally when somebody will choose to come to see me, it is because they've hit a crossroad.
Yep.
Whether it's personally or professionally, most of the time it's linked, to be completely honest. People are trying to find their identity again. So obviously I work on the image side of things, but it's very rare that I work with people that aren't also invested in their personal development. So they're working with other professionals to really get clear and solidify who they are, work on whatever trauma they need to work on. And it has to go hand in hand, because you can't build an image based on the past.
No.
You will just find yourself in quicksand, and you will continually be fighting how to get forward.
Yep. Into the space of the workplace now. And things have been thrown on their heads in so many different ways since March 2020 with the pandemic. But one of them in particular is, what is appropriate business attire now? Like,
yeah,
you know, who knows? I'm sitting here, I've got jeans and boots and this on, but I could have a pair of pajama pants underneath. You wouldn't know any of that. There's a lot of talk about how people show up. There's been some funny incidents happen on things like Zoom and Teams where people didn't realize that others could see more of them than they thought they could. What do you think's happened? You know, there is some talk around, particularly Australians, less than excited about dressing up a bit more again, going back into the workplace and whatnot. What are you noticing? Because I know you've written some really good articles about this. What are you noticing in the psyche of human beings about this transition from maybe more corporate attire into something a little bit less corporate?
Yeah, it's a very broad question. There's so many different elements to this question. So, and there's so many positives that have come from the pandemic as well. And I think also I wouldn't mind saying that each individual is very different. Some people really enjoy the idea of working from home, and some people are really missing the collaboration that you get when you're in the office. So what am I noticing? Gosh, there's so much going on. There's no question that we are shifting into a hybrid workspace. So there was a recent article out, actually, at the top 40 companies, 38 of them are going into hybrid models where it is either 2 to 3 days in the office and the rest are at home. So what I'm finding is there seems to be a lack of communication from an organizational structure about what is expected for dress codes. And that's a real concern, because you can't possibly expect to get the best out of your people when there is confusion around presentation, which ultimately affects the culture of the organization. So it's a really interesting time at the moment of trying to figure out, are you business smart casual? Are you smart casual? Are you workplace casual? There's so many words being thrown around. And to be completely honest, nobody knows what any of this even means. I think at the end of the day, it comes down to organizations being really open and having a chat with their team members about what they believe is right for the organization going forward, whilst also making sure that the leadership team of organizations are very aware of where they're wanting to take the company as well.
Maybe I opened a really big can of worms there.
I think you did.
What I like about that though, Bree, is that there's the simplicity in the things we miss, and this isn't just about dress standards in work, but have a chat to your people.
Yeah.
And the second thing is there's so much confusion around the interpretation of what those things mean, mm-hmm. business casual, smart casual, whatever else it might be. Now, that could relate to anything in an organisation. When human beings can't make sense of what it is, they'll make it up for themselves. And so I love this idea that you talk about that, you know what, people listening to this, if you've one of your things on your list, which I'm sure it is what is our dress code policy going to be? You've heard it from Bree. Have a chat to your people, see where they're at with it. Because I think that's going to do some things you talk about too, boosting engagement with people, building that trust with people, having people to make sense of what they can and can't wear. You don't want someone turning up and they're like, that's my version of business casual, but it's not the company's version, or exactly. Someone's dressed up far too much. Because I used to see a bit of that. We're not going to get into this topic much, but I used to see sometimes on casual Fridays, it was almost like a fashion parade or some sort of contest that was going on. And you're thinking, shit, who's going to win it next week? And so you've got to be able to rein those things in. Yeah. Now, you recently wrote about, you know, office closing dress standards, and with the way work's changing, you wrote about some tips that you would give to businesses, to organisations to think about. Could you share a few of those tips about how we establish dress codes?
Absolutely. And now is truly the perfect time to pull out this workplace dress code that has been in place for who knows how many years, because I know a lot of companies don't update them. Pull it out and have a really good think about the company culture that you are creating internally. So the first thing that a company needs to do is actually communicate their why. And what I mean by that is you need to be able to give your team members context of where the company is going, why the company is going in that direction, and so that they can understand the evolution of the organization. Because that then empowers the team to actually feel like they're on board with the next step of growth and evolution within the organization. So that is step one, is to really communicate the why and take the time. As a leadership team, the leadership team need to be all on the same page when it comes to this. While I'm on leadership team, if you're expecting your team members to present in a certain way, by God, you need to be doing it yourself.
So you reckon the old sauce stain on the tie and something like that, that's no good anymore, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I'm going to say no, take it to the dry cleaner.
Good idea.
Yeah, expectations. You know, you have this amazing team within an organization. You need to make sure that the expectations is set from the very get-go. So if you're about to introduce this concept of a new dress code, you need to be doing it before anybody else as a leader.
I love it. I often talk to my clients about this concept of going first, that in leadership, in order to build credibility, regardless of what it is, it might be a vulnerable story, it could be what you're talking about here, is you need to set the example, because that's what people will mirror and what people will follow.
Yep.
What else would you suggest that they do?
All right. Step two, I would absolutely bring in the team members for a discussion. So you need to collaborate with them. It needs to be inclusive. It needs to be interactive. Not only has the pandemic obviously changed the way that we are presenting within the workplace, but society is changing a lot too. It's really important that you have open conversations about being inclusive of every individual and making sure that they feel comfortable within themselves to be able to be themselves within the workplace. So ultimately, the organization and the team can get the best out of this individual.
Yeah, I love that.
And the third one is just keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate it.
Wow.
At the end of the day, you're dealing with individuals. So there's two things you need to keep in mind here. It's the standards of the organization, and then it's the individual. So how do you find a common ground between these two to allow both of them to flourish? Don't complicate it with these 100-page manuals of you can't wear red nail polish, or you can only wear black and brown shoes. Like, just keep it simple and allow, trust your people that they're going to make the right choices.
So let's talk about when that sort of thing can go a little bit wrong. So again, you read a great article. I think it was called "The Right to Bear Arms," as in B-A-R-E arms, not B-E-A-R. So there was a dress code introduced in an organisation even this year, which when I read this, I was blown away. Banning sleeveless tops, dresses, blouses, jeans, polo shirts, sneakers, and God help us, UGG boots.
I know. Can you believe it?
Well, lucky I haven't got my UGG boots on in my office right now. And these rules didn't just apply to the office. They were also banned on video calls as well. Now, my question, you wrote the great article, is this going too far, and how does it impact on those great tips that you just shared around inclusion and simplicity and that sort of thing?
Okay, well, it doesn't follow any of my steps whatsoever. When I read this article and found out that this very significant organization, 13,000 employees, I was outraged. Like, if you're to think about an organization and dictating to that amount of detail what somebody can and can't do, it is horrifying to me. So is it going too far? Absolutely, it has gone too far, and that was overturned very, very quickly, that decision, which I'm happy to report on. But yes, that is the epitome of a leadership team thinking that they know what their organization needs and what their team members want and trying to control everything about those employees, and it's gone too far. It's horrible, and it should never happen ever again.
And then you think about, you know, because you talk, one of the things you talk about in the corporate setting is allowing people to dress in a certain way and having, you know, clear things that make sense, is that that impacts on things like you said, trust, and you said and employee engagement. What would have been the impact on employee engagement in that organisation when that policy came out, do you think? What would have the average human being's reaction been?
When you get dictated to, you don't want to perform. You don't want to work. Yeah, the performance level would have declined instantly. Collaboration would have declined instantly as well, because they're not being heard.
Mm.
So if you're not being heard, then the likelihood of people leaving, and this is another really important part of what's going on at the moment with the pandemic, is you want to make sure that you're keeping your good people.
Yes.
And if you're trying to squash that and squash their collaborative component, you know, you're going to lose your good people.
Absolutely. I find it absurd to, when, having read that, first of all, I went and checked. It is 2021, isn't it? Yep. Yeah, it is. Tick.
It was in February of this year.
It was almost, given the nature of the sector that that group was in, I just sort of thinking, what were they thinking when they were sitting around coming up with that policy? Like, you could almost go, let's try and create something that is as much against progression in a new world, in a more human, progressive world. There it is. There's the policy. Let's get that one and we'll put that in there. And they couldn't have thought that they were going to get a good outcome. And obviously they didn't. And it was overturned because some sensibility came into it, which brings me to this idea of, I think they just made something that should have been pretty simple, very bloody complicated and complex, to the point where they had egg on their faces.
Yeah.
My question here is, more so just around your thoughts on this idea. I have a view that we try to overcomplicate things that should be simple.
Mm-hmm.
This, I think, topic is one in particular. What are your thoughts around it? Why do humans try and create complexity or complicated outcomes when there are some very simple things we could do? What do you think about that?
Yeah. Oh, there's many elements to it. I almost think that there's an element of control that happens with complexities, that the more complex you make something, the more in control that you are. When we're talking about, you know, a workplace guideline and who's writing those guidelines, they're typically the people that are the more mature, typically, that's a generalization, but they are the more mature and they've been in the industry for a very long time. And I do believe that sometimes these individuals have an element of control about their personalities. They like to be able to do things their own way.
Yep. So be able to tell people that I wrote the policy, I was in control, and there's a little bit of ego, I guess, that comes into that as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I do think that that's changing, thankfully, because in that article that you just mentioned with this ridiculous dress policy, later in that article I mentioned about the 1950s and coming out of a pandemic at the time, and they had the same issue. So this is quite common when we move through a pandemic or some kind of crisis. Typically, when it comes to fashion, we start to see a liveliness come about. People are wanting to bring life back. So there's colors and there's different kinds of trends that would be deemed back in the 1950s being a bit provocative.
Yep.
And that got squashed then as well. So it's very normal, I think, after a pandemic to see these kind of changes happen. And thankfully, this time round, I think with our Gen X and Gen Zs coming through, you just can't communicate to them with an element of control anymore. Yeah. Because their value is far more free-spirited than the baby boomer.
Yeah, so they're not going to just fall into line like I would have as a 50-something-year-old that is like, oh, yeah, we'll just follow the policy because that's the policy and that's the way we've always done things around here. I think this is part of, I guess, humans stepping more into their humanness and leadership to say, hang on, you know, you can't tell us that we can't do that because we can't make sense out of that. It's not like there are certain things that we need direction on, but this isn't one. You can't tell me how I can dress, particularly at home as well.
Absolutely.
And I do like the fact that, you know, some of the younger generations are, I think, providing the role modelling for maybe some of us more mature ones that you mentioned before to start to find their voices as well. Speaking of more mature ones, I did share with this you before we came on air, but I used to have an aversion to the tie, the business tie. And, you know, where I used to work when I first got there, it was like you wore a tie and everyone wore a tie. And I used to be given a little bit of leeway by my boss at the time, a guy by the name of Chris Koo. I hope you're listening to this, Cooey. But he would say to me, I wouldn't come back from Christmas time, the break, with my tie on. And he'd say, well, I'll let you go to your birthday LaBusque, which was mid-February, but then I want your tie back on. And then over time, I just didn't put my tie back on. Mm-hmm. I was in the lift one day with some people more mature than I, been around for a while, more senior in the business, and a guy looked down at me, like seriously looked down at me, and I think it was a bit of a pissing contest, and he goes, where's your tie, son? And I'm like, mate, you show me something that tells me I'll be more productive and efficient and I'll put the tie back on. And he was horrified and the rest of them were too.
Yeah.
Did I do the right thing then or should I have just gone back to my office and got one of my ties out of my second drawer and put it back on?
No, I don't think you did the wrong thing. I mean, he approached it in the wrong way. He should have pulled you aside and let's have a conversation of why you've chosen not to wear your tie so he could understand your choice. The only thing that I would say is when it comes to team collaboration, there needs to be an understanding of what's acceptable and maybe what's unacceptable.
Yep.
So that is the only thing that I would say about that scenario. If it was a team environment and everybody else was wearing a tie, why is Mark allowed to not wear a tie?
Yep. So there's a leadership lesson there, again, around fashion and image. A leadership lesson is maybe seek to understand why someone is dressing the way they are before you say to them, oh, we're supposed to be wearing black shoes here and you're wearing brown shoes or tan shoes, and understanding where people are coming from. Hey, speaking of corporate, you are about to launch an incredible new venture. So I want you to talk about this because it's got to do with that space. What are you doing?
So obviously with all of my work, I have become very aware that it is a real struggle for organisations to communicate what is acceptable to wear in a workplace without offending people and with giving freedom to people to be who they are while still being under the company banner. So one of the perks of the pandemic and being in such a strict lockdown last year is that I was able to develop a process and a service directly linked to helping organizations build a visual representation of their team whilst also being authentic to each individual about building their own image and their own personal brand for their own career growth. So I've created a fabulous business that's called Dapper. And it is essentially a clothing subscription box that is targeted towards our emerging leaders.
Yep.
And it's crossing that bridge of the difficulties of communication when it comes to presentation. And on the flip side, our young graduates are never taught this. In university, there is no, whether it be university or any kind of training, there is nothing training them on how their presentation can actually influence their career growth. So as myself and a bunch of stylists that I have employed, we will be working with each of these individuals in really ascertaining what they want from their careers and how we can help them grow their careers whilst being under the company umbrella that they are.
Exciting. So let's get to the really important stuff then. Where do people find more out about Dapper, but also about what you offer, about the services that you offer? Where do they go to?
So for my services, you'll find, so all of this interesting stuff that we've been talking about today in the psychology of image, I write quite a few articles for LinkedIn. That's where you'll find that kind of information. If you're wanting to see more behind the scenes of the more development of wardrobes and clothing, Instagram is where you'll find me. So just Brioni Croft on Instagram. And then obviously my website, which please go have a look. It's amazing. I rebranded at the start of the year. Really proud of it. And that is the epitome of when I talk about image and conveying what is true and authentic to an individual. What you're seeing on that website is 100% me. And it has a bit of a dramatic feel to it, which is very much in reflection of my background within the music industry.
So should people reach out to you on LinkedIn if they want to work with you? Would that be a place to connect with you, or would you prefer absolutely through the website?
Either or. I'm fairly active on both of them. So LinkedIn is a great spot. Website, obviously, a more formal inquiry can come through on the website. And as far as Dapper is due to be launched in, well, to be honest, it was meant to be launched this week, but because we're in lockdown, that's made that incredibly difficult. So September, keep your eyes peeled. Dapper will be launching in September.
I love it. And I can absolutely testify, first of all, your new website is incredible. And it is very much a representation of you, of that person that I met in Fiji, who may not have been dressed like you are on the website, but the confidence is just like, the confidence was there when I met you in Fiji. And that is absolutely you. When I saw that photo, I was like, yep, that's the Brie that I've met. And it's not like, oh, where's the other Brie gone? Because that's not her. So if you're going to walk your talk, this is one of the greatest examples I've seen. Thanks for joining me. I think we've covered some pretty amazing things here, and lots for individuals to think about, lots for corporates to think about as they go into a place now, which is critical for them to get this right. So, Brie, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much, Mark, for having me.
Hey there, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. I always find that whilst I'm interviewing my amazing guests, I'm also learning a hell of a lot about things. And a couple of things that came to mind for today was things like, you know, these broad dress codes and use of terms like smart casual, business attire, and sort of how they're confusing what people are trying to do today. Brie's really great share around, don't have a 100-page document and policy on what you should wear. Keep it pretty simple and communicate what your organisation is about and why you have such an expectation on the way that your employees turn up. I love their thoughts around that ridiculous policy that was overruled that came up here in Australia earlier this year about the, you know, she called it the right to bear, as in B-A-R-E, the right to bear arms, and how very, very quickly that was overturned, because it simply does not fit today in a world that is a little bit more liberal about what dress standards should be. The relationship between your own confidence and dressing from the inside out, as Brie calls it, versus the outside in, like trying to impress others versus impressing and being confident in yourself. The use of the theory of ratio is something I'd not heard of before. I'd certainly heard some of those other terms like, you know, the brick and the pear and the different sorts of body shapes. But Brie gave some great tips there as well on what you should think about depending upon the body shape that you had. And I really just love Brie's passion for helping people in a very, very different way, using her own experiences of all that travel she did over those years to become more confident in herself. So starting with yourself, as I always talk about, the only place to start, whether it's in how you're turning up, what you're looking like, or how you're leading other people. Hey, if you like this one, why not rate it 5 stars? And if you loved it, share it with your friends. And just remember as well that Bree doesn't just do this with individuals. She's starting up a new and exciting business called Dapper that's kicking off very soon. And she'll be working there with organisations. So it'll be worth getting in touch with her. But until next time, keep it simple, keep it practical, and keep it human. Bye for now.